Well, the Lotto jackpot has grown to over $64 million.
It all started with a lottery ticket.
You got the numbers wrong!
Wrong?
An honest cop. And a waitress.
Probably you've had good luck your entire life, which is the opposite of me.
In the middle of a very bad day.
Just don't have enough for a tip.
I'll live.
Lottery ticket? If this ticket wins, I'll come back tomorrow and split the proceeds. And if it doesn't, I'll still come back and leave you a tip. What do you think?
I think I'm never going to see you again.
What happened next?
64.
What?
Is beyond their wildest dreams.
I've got something to tell you.
This is a story of money.
Why don't you stop at half? Why don't you just give her all the money? Would you get off my foot?
The things it can buy.
Just a quick stop at Tiffany's, darling, and I'll be born again.
And the one thing...
You're doing great!
It can't.
Oh, no.
TriStar Pictures presents...
It's nice to meet somebody who you can just talk with, you know, and hang with.
This lottery thing, it's from one day to the next. It's like you become this other person.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just won the lottery, and tonight's ride home is on me and Miss Yvonne Biasi.
She put you in a straitjacket and take you to the loony bin.
Nicolas Cage.
It's like we're on two different channels now. I'm CNN, and she's the Home Shopping Network.
Bridget Fonda.
It's like a fairy tale.
Rosie Perez.
Woman with the heart of gold.
It could happen to you.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Works, in-depth look into the career and filmography of Nicolas Cage. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me on this journey into the depths of true cagedom is my friend, co-host, and fellow cageaholic,
Mike DiCruccio.
How you doing today, Mike?
Good. I think today will be interesting to see how long we can actually talk about this movie.
Yeah, I think we can at least sustain...
10 minutes, maybe?
I gave us a good 3.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's exactly what this is going to be, Mike.
Pretty much. Today we are going to be discussing Nicolas Cage in the 1994 film It Could Happen to You, which I maintain is a terrible title for a movie. Because it tells you absolutely nothing about who or what the movie's about.
I think you have a fun game plan for us, right?
I do. Generally speaking, like, being about the thing that your movie's about is kind of a prerequisite for what the title is. If you know nothing about the film and just saw the title, like, It Could Happen to You, you might assume it could refer to any number of things.
Murder, perchance.
Murder could happen to you. A pie-throwing contest could happen to you. Getting cast as young Han Solo could happen to you. Like,
whatever it is, it can happen to you.
Exactly. It could be anything. To that end, I've gone to IMDb to discover that there are at least 3 other movies called It Could Happen to You. And to prove that point, I gathered the plot synopsis for each of those movies. Try to guess which one our movie is. Are you ready?
Here we go.
The captivating story of 2 brothers, one good, one bad. The good one becomes a lawyer while the bad one resorts to crime. That could happen to you.
It could, yeah.
An ad man is jailed when it is believed he murdered a beautiful girl. His wife sets out to solve the crime.
Ooh.
That could happen to you.
Yeah.
An educational film about the perils associated with sexually transmitted diseases. The drama is interspersed with scenes of a medical advisor directly addressing the camera, giving advice and information about STDs. That very much could happen to you. You should get yourself checked out if you're sexually active.
If you come away listening to this podcast with one thing, is that you should always get checked.
That's really the goal that we set out when we made this podcast was for people to know that. The last one, a police officer promises to share his lottery ticket with a waitress in lieu of a tip. That could happen to you. Obviously, we're reviewing the educational film about STDs.
Yeah. That's why we weren't sure how long we could talk about it, because it's a pretty straightforward film.
Right. It's something that everybody should already know, guys.
Exactly.
Get yourself tested.
Yep.
No, It Could Happen to You concerns a cop played by Nicolas Cage named Charlie Lang, who splits his winning lottery ticket with a waitress named Yvonne, played by Bridget Fonda. The movie was originally titled The $2 Million Tip, which is a much better title.
Yeah, because it's about what the movie's about.
I know. And here's some fun facts. The movie was originally going to star none other than Arnold Schwarzenegger in the lead role.
What?
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to play Nicolas Cage's role, but he instead chose to make Last Action Hero, and Cage got the job.
Wow.
And the role of Yvonne was originally offered to both Madonna and Marissa Tomei before eventually going to Bridget Fonda. Now, imagine an alternate universe where this movie stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Madonna.
Somewhere out there, that universe exists.
Right. And it's probably glorious.
Yeah.
It Could Happen to You is loosely based on true events. In 1984, a police officer actually did split a $6 million lottery ticket with a waitress that he was friends with as a tip. Beyond that basic premise, everything else in this movie is entirely fictional, and so neither of the real people were required to authorize the movie and were not entitled to any kind of royalties from the film's proceeds.
Perfect. Good on you, Hollywood.
That's Hollywood, man. They're always out to get you. Of course, they're rich, so they won the lotto. The film made about $37 million. I haven't been able to find out what its budget was, but it seems that It Could Happen to You is a pretty solid hit at the box office. And it makes sense. This is like a feel-good movie. I feel like people kind of flock to that kind of stuff, especially in the early 90s. It Could Happen to You sees Cage re-teaming with director Andrew Bergman, who directed Cage in Honeymoon in Vegas, and that film has a more screwball flavor, where this movie kind of keeps it mostly just feel-good and understated. And unlike Honeymoon in Vegas, Bergman did not write this one. It Could Happen to You was written by Jane Anderson, known for writing the 2014 HBO miniseries Olive Kitteridge, for which she won an Emmy.
There you go. The more you know.
There you go. Did you ever see Olive Kitteridge, Mike?
No, but I remember all the hype it got.
Yes, that's basically my reaction to it, too. I was like, Olive Kitteridge. That was the thing that I should have watched, but I did not, and I forgot about it until now.
Yeah, I always see it on HBO Go, and I'm like, oh, yeah, and then I keep going.
And in addition to Nicolas Cage and Bridget Fonda, the film stars Rosie Perez, Wendell Pierce, Isaac Hayes, Stanley Tucci, Victor Rojas, not the Victor Rojas, who is a baseball commentator for the Los Angeles whoever's. I don't know baseball.
Dodgers? Maybe?
Maybe. I saw his name in the credits, and I was like, that name kind of sounds familiar. And I clicked the Wikipedia link, and it brought me to the baseball commentator. but then I looked it up on IMDb, and it was not the same guy. Because it's a kid in this movie, and he was like 30 when this movie came out.
So
different person. It also stars Seymour Cassell, who also appeared in Honeymoon in Vegas. J.E. Freeman, who also appeared in Wild at Heart. So there's a reunion there. Red Buttons is in this movie. Richard Jenkins, Ann Dowd. Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos is a very small role in this movie as a bowling team member.
That's right.
And in her first film role, Emily Deschanel as the activist that throws paint on Muriel's fur.
Oh man, it's all come together.
Herself. Yeah. So this is actually like a very like packed cast of people in this movie, which is kind of cool.
That's interesting. Because to be honest, not a whole lot goes on.
True. This is a very like base plotline. I think there's not too much to do.
Yeah.
Other than spend time with these very nice people. I feel
pretty much. That's kind of the whole point.
So, Mike, overall, what were your thoughts on It Could Happen to You?
It's a movie about a thing that happens to that guy also, I guess. that's kind of it.
Do you think this could happen to you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm a pretty enough waitress. You're welcome, Mike. But that's kind of the movie. It's about a nice guy, Nicolas Cage, does a nice guy thing, and then has to struggle to stay a nice guy, kind of.
Not even really.
Yeah.
I don't think his niceness ever comes into question at all throughout the movie.
No, that's true. It's never a question whether or not he is nice. He just comes up against challenges that he has to be nice guy for.
He has to overcome them with his niceness.
Yeah, pretty much. So we repeat that for about an hour and 40 minutes.
And then it just kind of ends.
And then nice guy has a nice life, I think, probably.
Seems like he's having a very nice life. I did want to note, this movie is rated PG, and the reason it's rated PG is for mild language and a scene of cop action, which I don't even know what that means.
Although sometimes it is my favorite to read like what things are rated for because they're hilarious.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, there is. I feel like I know what scene they're referring to. It's the scene where Cage breaks up a robbery. In that thing, but it's
in the bodega.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so oddly specific. Parental guidance is suggested because a cop did his job, or something.
Pretty much. Well, he gets shot in that moment, but yeah, the fact that it's phrased as cop action is hilarious.
But the movie that came to mind almost immediately while I was watching this was David Wayne's They Came Together, which, like, that movie is this pitch-perfect parody of romantic comedies.
Right.
And It Could Happen to You is the kind of movie that they're parodying.
Yeah.
Movie. Like, entirely. And the thing is about They Came Together, it skewers romantic comedy so effectively, where, like, the genre, the stuff that falls into the cliches that movie, like, makes fun of, seems completely irrelevant now. Like,
yeah, you can't come back from that movie. Yeah.
It's like when Walk Hard came out. What's the point of doing a musical biopic anymore?
Yeah.
Like, Walk Hard already covered it. Like,
yep.
Like, we all know how they work now. So as soon as, like, this movie starts, and it starts off with, like, overhead shots of New York. And I immediately thought, I was like, oh, wow, New York must be such an important part of the story that it's almost like another character in this story.
Yeah, that is the best part of They Came Together, is that they just overtly talk about the tropes that are going on. It's the best. So that when it happens again, like you said, you can't unsee it.
Exactly. Also, Bridget Fonda's character in this movie is very similar to Amy Poehler's character in They Came Together. As just kind of like the lovable wreck, like kind of a klutz a little bit. So there's like a repeated thing where she keeps losing her glasses and they're always like on her head or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she's ditzy, but she's like very pretty and she's just trying. She's trying her best.
She's just trying. Like, yeah, one of my notes that I have is, oh, yep, get it. She's a waitress who wanted to be an actor, just like everyone else in New York, apparently.
Pretty much. And Nick Cage and Bridget Fonda are painted as basically saints, like these otherworldly beings.
Yeah.
That can do no wrong in their lives, and everybody else around them is the worst. Nicolas Cage's wife, Muriel, played by Rosie Perez, is one of the most annoying movie characters I've ever seen.
Yeah. And independent of Rosie Perez.
It doesn't help. Not that I dislike Rosie Perez, but I think her voice can be very grating.
I think it's on purpose in this film.
I do think it is a little bit on purpose, but it's like, like, she's annoying in this movie, but it's not even, like, after the money supposedly changes her. She's just the worst.
All the way through.
Right from minute one. Like, as soon as she's on the screen, I was like, I'm going to have to listen to this entire movie.
Yeah, she complains that her police husband is not crooked because it doesn't get them enough money.
Yeah, like, that's a thing. There's
a whole conversation about that.
Yeah, there's a part of this movie where she's complaining to him, and she says to him, I'm so sick of your niceness and decency. Yeah. That's a quote from this movie.
I mean, granted, we're not supposed to sympathize with her in any way.
Right. You know. I know, but it's kind of like one note, you know? It's like,
yeah, that is her arc. That's it.
That is her entire arc, is like she's mean and she continues to be mean. Yep. And then she gets her comeuppance in a voiceover at the end of the movie.
Right.
But she's the worst. Isaac Hayes narrates this movie. Sort of. And he's like an undercover reporter, but he also might be God or
I'm not really sure. Yeah.
His name is Angel.
Right.
So there's that. There's that clue.
There's also him standing in front of the frame talking directly into the camera as the scene happens behind him. So like that's usually reserved for God.
or
at least a narrator.
Of some sort, yeah. So that was definitely weird. And I would argue, like, Charlie and Yvonne, Cage and Bridget Fonda's characters, are two of the most fundamentally decent humans I've ever seen depicted in movies or otherwise, like, in life. And you could argue, as I would, they're way too nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's almost it's overkill, I think, at a certain point. Like, I get they're nice people, but I feel like all the conflict comes from external forces, and not once does Cage like second guess himself and be like, you know what, maybe I should have offered to split this money or something with Bridget Fonda,
right?
Or something like that. And so, like, throughout the movie, like, they buy everyone in the subway tokens for the subway.
Yeah.
Right. They donate money to police widows. They feed the homeless. They rent out Yankee Stadium so the kids can play.
Yeah.
And, like, you can do a couple of those things in the movie, and I'll be like, I get it. They're nice people. Like,
right.
Like, if there was just the scene of them, like, giving out subway tokens and donating money to police widows, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Right. These are good humans. I would like to see them not die or something. Like,
I'm on board with them.
But it's like every other scene is this, like, another depiction of them, like, showing how nice they are and how cruel and horrible Muriel and Stanley Tucci's character are to them.
Yes.
And how everyone else in the world is somehow against them, even though, like, nobody's really against them until they are. Like, I feel like...
You're right. Yeah, they're depicted as these paragons of charity in the cruel city. But for an hour and 40 minutes, it's like it's the same. We see the same thing happen, like you said.
Yeah, it's the same thing over and over again. But what did you think of Cage in this movie? Like, do you think he acquits himself well here?
Yeah, I think he delivers a solid performance as a dashing charitable cop, I guess. I don't really know. I think him and Bridget Fonda have some pretty actually good chemistry together when they are together. There are a few scenes, like when they miss the millionaire's sale thing, whatever, on the boat.
I laughed a lot at that scene because of the sign that outside the party that says "Ahoy, millionaires."
Yeah, that was, yeah. That like, is that is one thing that like,
fuck
I guess
off,
it,
rich people.
It does do a pretty fun job at kind of skewering the upper class of that, like to see Rosie Perez walking around and on the cruise ship doing like pretending rubbing elbows with the millionaires, and she's just so out of her league, but she thinks she is. And there is some fun satire going on there, I think, a little bit, but like for the most part, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did think there was one very funny line in the movie. Where it was a scene where Cage was breaking up the robbery, and like the criminals like see Cage's partner Wendell Pierce out on the street, and he's like given a ticket to some car or whatever, he's like pretending to anyway, and the criminals are like looking out at him and like he's just standing there, what's he doing? And it's like, oh, he's giving a ticket to that car, and like the other criminal is like, with all the crime in this city, he's that's all he's doing, and which was pretty funny because they're in the middle of a robbery. But yeah. but I do think Cage is pretty solid here. But it's also like I feel like it requires much less of him than previous romantic films that we've watched Cage in. I think Cage and Fonda are good together, and Fonda in particular I think does a very good romantic comedy heroine. Even if it is like a cliched character, but Cage is in fine form, but like. The role requires much less of him than Moonstruck or Honeymoon in Vegas, or perhaps his greatest romance, Wild at Heart, which is not really the same kind of movie. But like a lot of that movie is built on the relationship between Cage and Laura Dern in that movie,
right?
Even something like Valley Girl, which seems so long ago now.
It does.
Remember Valley Girl back in the day? Like that featured Cage like doing some more interesting things, even if most of that movie is Cage like kind of flat. Throughout.
Yeah, this is much more Cage is mainstream, has to hit appeal to everyone across everything and can't do a weird voice, I don't think we've talked about recently, but he's got a normal Cage voice in this one.
He does have a normal Cage voice in this one. So I feel like the last couple have had normal voices.
Yeah.
Right? Red Rock West had a normal voice.
Yeah, and I feel like as he is reaching the mainstream stardom of Nicolas Cage in the 90s,
he's dialed back in the funny voices.
He's trying to just be normal guy now instead of being a weird nasally Cage.
That's true, and we are in we're just about the peak of Cage's career. In about I think two or three episodes, we'll be reviewing Leaving Las Vegas, the movie that won an Oscar, and then shortly after that, it'll be like big hit movies like The Rock and Con Air and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But here he's required to basically just be a nice guy.
And yeah, that's pretty much.
And that's what he brings to the table in this one. So it's not one of his more interesting performances or one of his more interesting movies. But he does a solid job, and Bridget Fonda is fun to watch as well.
Yeah.
I was watching this and I was like, Bridget Fonda is actually very good in this. And I remember liking her in Jackie Brown. And I was like, I feel like Bridget Fonda hasn't been in much at all lately. And she hasn't been in a movie since 2002. Wow. So that would explain that. But she was very good. It was, good to see her. Yeah. I do think the ending of this movie is a little too Miracle on 34th Street. where all the postmen come in with letters from Santa Claus and save the day.
It's quite literally that.
Basically. Except, I mean, there's no Santa Claus in this movie, except maybe there is. Maybe that's who Isaac Hayes is playing.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe this is a Christmas movie all along. Actually, our next movie will be a Christmas movie, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But otherwise, I mean, man, is there any scenes in this movie that stood out to you? Anything that you enjoyed? What did you think of the relationship between Cade and Muriel?
I mean, the one scene I have an actual note about is the Yankee Stadium scene.
Okay.
And just, it goes on for a little while. It's kind of a long scene, but it is actually really cute and, like, kind of fun. Like, it's, it brings the neighborhood kids to come play on the field at Yankee Stadium, and that way it's not going on, but it's just another nice guy thing that a nice guy did in a nice guy movie. So, there's not much, it's just a pretty generic romantic comedy all the way through. And the relationship between Cage and Charlie and Muriel, and it's everything is kind of one note, sort of. It's they are mismatched. They don't like each other, or they're not of the same cloth. You know,
I could not understand how they got together in the first place.
Well, I think that we get that origin story somewhere that they went out on a date once, and next thing they knew, they were married, and that was it. And it's just like, oh, that's sad, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough.
And the same thing with Bridget Fonda's character and Stanley Tucci's character.
Right.
Right.
Stanley Tucci is only in like two or three scenes in this movie. He pretty effectively plays like a slime ball.
He's a pretty great slime ball.
Which, like, we've seen him play before, and he's always very good at. So there's that. That's cool.
And he's like super cut in this movie, which, like, who knew? Who knew Stanley Tucci was so cut?
True. Who knew he had it in him? This movie does take kind of a turn towards the end. Not really a turn. It's not like Guarding Tess, where it just suddenly turns into like a murder mystery.
Could you imagine that? That would have been awesome.
I wish. I wish murder could happen. I wish the It Happened to You was murder. I feel like halfway through the movie, Cage snaps. His nice guy persona just goes out the window, and he murders Muriel. And then the rest of the movie is him trying to cover it up or something.
His mask of sanity slips.
But the end of this movie is, most of it is Cage getting to know Bridget Fonda and Cage's relationship with Muriel kind of deteriorating. And then the end of the movie is kind of this legal battle between Muriel, who's suing Cage for the money in the divorce kind of thing.
Right.
As well as trying to take the money from Bridget Fonda as well. And it kind of, it's basically just emphasizes how evil Muriel is.
Yeah.
Like, that's all there is to it. There's like a scene in this movie where, like, right after they get the money, they're going shopping. And Cage, like, puts, like, $20 in a bum's can or something. And she snatches it back out.
Yeah, the bum is blind.
Yeah.
So he doesn't see any of that happen because I guess that's a thing. She's just, as if we didn't know she's evil already, we have to just keep hammering that home.
Yeah. There's part of the movie where Cage comes home and there's a self-portrait of Muriel like in the room, like looking behind her, and it's like it looking like fucking Timothy Dalton in Hot Fuzz.
That's exactly what it is. Oh my god!
But the courtroom scene. Did you think the courtroom scene was any good at all? Richard Jenkins was the lawyer, Muriel's lawyer, and I think Red Buttons was. Nick Cage's lawyer. I mean,
right.
Did you think those scenes were effective at all?
Yeah, I thought those were a throwback to the screwball comedy stuff of Honeymoon in Vegas, where you know, we have Richard Jenkins questioning Nicolas Cage, and every time he steps up to ask a question, there's a gavel, and it's, like, really super dramatic. And,
right.
And then we have, like, spinning headline, newspaper headline close-ups and, like, all this stuff. And it's a fun, like, silly sequence that doesn't fit the tone of the other rest of the movie. But it's a good couple minutes that are pretty funny.
Solid stuff. So, yeah, I mean, overall, It Could Happen to You.
Like, I guess, why not?
Yeah, it's there's some okay stuff, but it kind of just kind of falls flat for us, it seems like.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't like it as much as Honeymoon in Vegas, which is a movie that we ended up really enjoying.
Yeah, this is not a bad movie by any stretch, I don't think, but it's not a good one.
It kind of just exists to show you how nice people can be.
Right.
Or something. Like, it's just showing you nice people. It's a lot like Guarding Tess in that regard, I think. The first hour and 15 minutes of Guarding Tess.
Right. Yeah, it's a glimpse into the pre-Snyderverse world that we used to exist.
Right. We used to live in a world where Zack Snyder did not direct our lives.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore. Now we live
Colors that weren't washed out.
It's Zack Snyder's world now, and we're just living in it. Speaking of which, we're reviewing Suicide Squad in a couple days.
Yeah. Should be fun.
So stick around with that. All right. So It Could Happen to You. You know, it's whatever. But we do have some Netflix reviews to get into, and there are some strong opinions about this movie.
I'm excited. Lay it on.
All right. So here's some Netflix reviews for It Could Happen to You. Here's a 5-star review. I didn't have high hopes for this movie, but it proved me wrong, as this site has a way of doing. This movie is about an honest-to-goodness do-gooder and his trials and tribulations after coming into a whopping sum of money. A lot of people on here seem to think its story is a fantasy that could never happen. This story is totally plausible, as long as you actually aren't a selfish drone.
Whoa.
Here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, we had an anonymous rich guy group donate an ungodly amount of money to the school system to fund an ongoing scholarship to any graduates who are eligible. The Kalamazoo Promise. Look it up. So with that truth in mind, what kind of person are you?
Wow. That guy's taking a strong stand.
Yeah, he's very accusatory towards the reader of this review.
They certainly are.
Here's a 1-star review of It Could Happen to You. It's a complete opposite. As much as I like to watch one married person fall in love with another married person and have an affair, heavy sarcasm, this movie just didn't quite cut it. Nicolas Cage was his usual dry self, and even more annoying than the star-crossed cheaters was Rosie Perez. Every moment she was in the movie, I had wished that someone would have nuked my house to save me from the nasally, whiny, self-absorbed character.
Wow. There's some heavy morality in that one.
Yeah. Very intense. Here's another 1-star review. Who has some issues with the plot of this movie? Stupid formulaic movie that paints the idiotic moves of the pushover husband as saintly compared to his evil, gold-digging wife. I disagreed with every move every person made in this movie. The characters are painted as extremes, probably to justify the inevitable romance that occurs between a married man and another woman who just happens to be an idiot too. I love, love, love the impassioned plea she makes to the judge about her separated husband running up her credit card, which is supposed to make us feel sorry for her. A legal separation would have cost her maybe $200 back then, and that's assuming she used a lawyer. Ta-da! No $12,000 credit card debt, or hey, just cancel the card in your name. Then there isn't a problem.
Wow.
Which, ouch.
I don't think that person has ever suspended their disbelief once. Probably not even once.
Yeah, I also don't think, I feel like canceling the card after the debt's already been made would still leave the debt, right? Like, that's...
Yep,
that's
I'm pretty sure that's not a thing, yeah.
Like, you can't spend $12,000 and then cancel the card and be like, oh, well, it's gone.
I think the credit card companies would have thought of that.
They do have safeguards in place for that. Here's a 5-star review of It Could Happen to You. This film proves that good, wholesome, and wonderful films were made as late as 1994. In his later years, Nicolas Cage took many bad parts, and I have disliked everything he has done since this film.
Jesus. That's since 1994?
I know.
Wow, okay.
Here he is wonderful, engaging, and has all of his hair. Bridget Fonda is flawlessly cast, as are all the other characters. This is a loving, heartwarming film, and I will definitely purchase the DVD for keeps.
good for that person.
Yeah, I'm glad they enjoyed it. Yeah. 4-star review of It Could Happen to You. This is a very romantic movie. Another movie that I think is romantic that you could add to Netflix could be The Truth About Cats and Dogs. So, good suggestion.
All right, yeah. That's it. That's the whole review.
That's the entire review.
God damn it. Like,
this is a romantic movie, and I think another movie that is romantic is The Truth About Cats and Dogs. You should add that, Netflix. And I'm sure Netflix took that to heart. And finally, there's one last review. It's a 3-star review. The only part of this movie that actually happened is that there really was a New York police officer who promised a waitress that her tip would be half of his lottery ticket, and it won, and he did split it with her. Very admirable. The rest of the movie is pure fantasy. The police officer was married to his second wife, they had several children, and his grown children from his first marriage lived nearby. I personally knew the cop's daughter-in-law. She told me he took his family out for a nice dinner and bought a new car. So, interesting perspective.
What a hot take.
Yeah. So, this person seems like they... It's weird, because they gave it a 3-star review, so it seems like they liked it.
Yeah, they enjoyed it. They just were grumpy about how untrue it is.
Yeah, because they know the cop's daughter-in-law in real life.
Right.
So, good for them. Good, like, way to humble brag.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Those are the Netflix reviews for It Could Happen to You. And that is, those are our thoughts on It Could Happen to You. We kind of liked it, sort of, no?
Yeah, it's fine. In between, yeah, whatever.
It's whatever. Yeah, whatever. You can put that on the poster of It Could Happen to You.
Oh, you can quote me.
All right, Mike, where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at twitter.com/mdfilmblog. And if you like Dungeons & Dragons, my friends and I post our games on youtube.com/geonerd79.
And you can follow me online at twitter.com/msmithfilmblog and all of my podcasts and stuff at filmbook.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Complete Works. I'm Mike Smith. That is Mike DiPriscio. If you are listening to this review via our podcast on iTunes, you can please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, take a moment to give us a review. Any and all feedback, compliments, topic discussions, and even hate mail can be sent directly to podcast@filmbook.com. Please list the podcast you're emailing about and the title of your email, because we produce so many different ones hard to keep track. We would love to hear from you. Join us in 2 weeks, where we'll be discussing Nicolas Cage in 1994's film Trapped in Paradise, with Dana Carvey and John Lovitz, which I've heard nothing but bad things about.
Yes.
So it should be fun. Looking forward to that.
Can't wait.
Yeah, and then check out this week's Film Bookcast, where we'll be discussing Suicide Squad, which I've also heard mostly bad things about. So that should be fun, too. I mean, have you been following the reviews of Suicide Squad, Mike?
Not closely. Most of them have been incredibly negative. I heard something about a conspiracy theory about Rotten Tomatoes.
There are certain DC fans who have started a petition to get Rotten Tomatoes shut down because it keeps giving low scores to DC movies, which shows a fundamental misunderstanding of how Rotten Tomatoes works.
Yeah.
Much like the DC movies have fundamentally misunderstood Superman. Boom! And
boom goes the dynamite.
Watch this podcast get flooded with a bunch of death threats.
Yeah, here we go. Way to go, Mike. You did.
There it is. There it is. I saw one tweet earlier today that made me very scared for Suicide Squad. I'll be seeing it this weekend. And the tweet was, "The only thing you have to know about Suicide Squad is that it features a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody by Panic at the Disco."
I don't want to... Can we not do it anymore? I don't want to give my money to that, Mike.
Right? It's hard. It's going to be hard.
But great.
We have to do it for the greater good.
We do. You're right. We do it so you don't have to.
Yeah. Although people will. People will have. Yeah. Like, people
they're
going to
see it.
Doing it. So. But thanks so much for listening, guys. And thanks for getting in the cage.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you. If you're young at heart.
If you're young at heart.
For it's hard.